5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, the lead anchor for the Mountain West Network, Jesse Kurtz. Jesse, it's an exciting time of year. You know, this is we're getting into fall camp. So many teams have started or getting started later this week. And everybody's 0-0 right now. So the optimism surrounding the Mountain West is certainly up there for all teams at this point.
It's fun for everybody. Good to be on with you again. I appreciate the invite. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, any time that you can put everybody in the same pool and start from the same spot, everyone has the same opportunity to win a conference championship, and we've had many teams in the last decade come from seemingly out of nowhere. Those teams that no one thought would do well play for a championship. I mean, you look at Wyoming; they did it with Josh Allen. San Jose State did it. Utah State this last year. So there have been many teams that maybe didn't get the preseason fanfare and the notoriety. Become a very, very good team and a championship contender. So that's why it's so exciting in August that all these teams really truly believe that they have a shot.
Yeah, and so many, I mean, you know, here just kind of locally for us, CSU, unknown kind of, as we see, we know what Jay Norvell did with Nevada, but I think some fans are going all in, some fans are kind of waiting and see, maybe this is a recharge year, but we'll be excited to see what the Rams can do. But there's the three obvious ones, right, Jesse? Boise State, Fresno State, Air Force. I think all three of those teams are poised to have monster seasons. In your mind, is it Fresno State first, though? Who do you think's the of those three right now, if you're ranking them, and I know different divisions and whatnot, but if you're ranking them, who do you think the best is today?
Yeah, if I had to pick one team that on a national scale was the best today, it would be Fresno State. I mean, anytime you have a returning all-conference quarterback, a guy that nearly left for the University of Washington to follow Kalen DeBoer but comes back, you've got one of the top wide receivers in Jalen Cropper. You've got Jordan Mims, who's poised to be the every-down back, taking over for Ronnie Rivers, and the defense is flat-out loaded. And then, oh, by the way, you bring back a coach who's had championship success at Fresno State. And I had a chance to spend a good amount of time with Jeff Tedford in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago, and he was as cool and as calm preseason as I've ever seen him. And the only thing that I could take away from that is he knows what he has in this team, and you know, it kind of was a very quiet confidence. And so if you had to ask me right now, I would say Fresno State would be the leader in the clubhouse at 0-0 for a conference championship.
I mean, man, Fresno State's one of those teams where you look at too, Jesse, where it's like, you know, now's the time with all this conference realignment stuff in the news all the time. If you can put your best foot forward as a conference, you look at Fresno State and say, lead us. I mean, the big wins you can get are only going to make people talk about the Mountain West Conference more and more.
Yeah, no question about it. And they've done that. You know, yeah. They've done that year in and year out. You look at what they did last year, went to UCLA and won. So right then and there, you said, oh, geez, this team was pretty good last year. And then they go and they win a bowl game. And then you bring back all the players and a new but old coach that has a ton of success. And they've got a schedule this year that you know, puts them in a spot where you could make some national noise. You got back-to-back road games at Oregon State, who was a bowl team last year, and then playing at the Coliseum against USC. Now, that's a lot to ask them to go to Corvallis and then to Los Angeles and pick up victories, but I don't think for a second that Fresno State doesn't believe that they can't go to those two places and come away with a victory, which says a lot.
Yeah, no question about it. I cannot wait for the non-conference portion of the Mountain West schedule, too. Okay, how about Boise State Air Force? I know you know all of the Mountain West teams left and right, but that Air Force team, I think you know even a little more, Jesse. That Air Force, I'm excited to see what they can do, too. I think, again, the fact that I even ask you that question, you know, Fresno State, Boise State, Air Force, kind of shows you how close these top three teams are in the conference.
Yeah, I think Air Force is poised this year to make a run at getting back to a championship game for the first time since 2015. I mean, they have a quarterback who will be a three-year starter when it's all said and done in Zeke Daniels. You've got the top running back in the Mountain West when it comes to the amount of yards gained last year in Brad Roberts, kid from Arvada, Colorado, out of Ralston Valley. You've got an offensive line that has a wealth of experience that, you know, nearly won the Joe Moore Award for the best offensive line in the country. Only graduated a couple of guys off of that, so they are loaded there. Linebacking core that is great. A secondary that is, that has a lot of guys that saw a lot of time. The only place that I would say, you know, is there a quote-unquote question mark? You lost Jordan Jackson on the defensive line. That's a big loss. He's with the New Orleans Saints. The wide receiver position, Micah Davis has transferred. He's no longer with the program. And then Brandon Lewis is with the Titans in the NFL. So that those two places, and maybe kicker, you wonder who's going to fill the shoes. But by and large, this is a team that has a lot of playing experience. The schedule sets up very nice with Boise State at home. You got Colorado at home, Colorado State at home. So there's a lot to like about this Air Force team if things kind of fall into place for them.
How does Troy Calhoun just keep doing this, Jesse? I mean, again, you know the system. You know, well, people think they know the system, but you every single year he's able to plug these guys in, that offensive line, just a special group every single year that falls right into it. I mean, he just finds the right people that fit in.
Yeah, a couple of reasons that he's so successful. Well, probably three right off the top of my head. One, I've never met a coach that is so detail-oriented than Troy Calhoun. I mean, he knows every single detail of anything that touches his program, and every ounce of preparation, he knows those game plans inside and out. I mean, he is so detail-oriented, so smart, that I think that puts him on the upper echelon when it comes to coaches. Two, he has hired great assistants. You talk about that offensive line. Steve Lebotsky, who is a former offensive lineman at Air Force himself, has been his offensive line coach for a number of years now. And I mean, you have to be technically sound to be a good offensive lineman at Air Force, right? You're only coming in 270, 280, 290. You might tip 300 pounds if you're lucky. So you got to be technically sound, and Steve Lebotsky is the best when it comes to teaching those guys. And then, you know, he cares. I mean, Troy Calhoun cares about the Air Force Academy mission, having gone through the Air Force Academy, lived that life. When he goes into a living room and is selling the United States Air Force, forget about the football program. That's a byproduct. But when he goes into those places, they buy in. Those parents buy in. The kids buy in. So those three reasons make him so successful at Air Force, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I think you're right, though. They're poised to have a phenomenal season. How about the Broncos? I kind of wanted to pick your brain about all those top three teams there. Andy Avalos looking. I was reading some preview. I think it was from Athlon Sports that said, trying to get this Broncos team back on track. Man, they were 7-5. If I'm a Rams guy, so I'm thinking, man, 7-5 last year would have been fantastic, but I know Boise State, that's unacceptable to them, so they're wanting to get right back and be a top-tier team, not just in the conference, but in the country.
We should all be so lucky that 7-5 and Boyle is a down year, right?
Right! Sad.
But to your point, that's the way they roll up there. I mean, the expectations are not, I mean, frankly, the expectations in Boise are not only to win a conference championship, it's to be in a New Year's Six bowl game. I mean, that's the expectation. Haven't been there since 2014. They've kind of been on the door knocking a few times since then, but haven't got over that hurdle. But there's a lot to like with Boise State. Hank Bachmeier is back. Now, has he lived up to the quote-unquote expectations since he came in? I suppose not, because the expectations are so high. But a lot of that wasn't his fault. The offensive line struggled to protect him, and he took a lot of hits early. He started every game, I believe, last year. He sets his protections. He's one of the few college quarterbacks that I know that does that. He's been given the keys to the Ferrari, so to speak. I think he's poised to have a big year. I think the offensive line is better. He's obviously better. George Halani, for their sake, hopefully he's healthy. Former freshman of the year in the Mountain West, he'll be running the football. The question on the offensive side, who's going to be the wide receiver, the go-to guy? You lost Octavius Evans, and then Khalil Shakir, who's now in the NFL. Probably Stephon Cobbs will get a majority of those, but they're going to have to figure that out, the downfield weapon. But their defense is loaded. Andy Avalos is a really good defensive coach. I know he has his finger on the pulse of that. A lot of good players. So, you know, it's going to come down to they have a gauntlet of a schedule midway through the year, Brady, where they have San Diego State, Fresno State, and Air Force all in a row. So that'll be tough. And then they play Colorado State the week after that. But those three games right there, taking on three of the conference championship contenders in back-to-back-to-back weeks. There's a bye week in there, but as far as games go, three in a row against really, really good teams.
Man, they're going to be battle-tested right off the bat. If they can come out of that somehow with a winning record, I think you're going to be feeling pretty good about the Broncos.
No question about it. And I'm a big believer in Andy Avalos. I've known him for years, going back to when he was a grad assistant at CU Boulder for Hawks. So I think he's just a wonderful human being, and I pull for him at every chance that I get.
We're talking to Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. Jesse, how about Colorado State? Jay Norvell, I know fans are, like, the excitement level, I haven't heard or seen it like this in quite some time, maybe even going back to McElwain that third year. You know, Bobo had his moments. Obviously, the Steve Adazio stuff didn't turn out so well. But you do have Rams fans, and I don't know what the showing will be at Canvas Stadium, but on Twitter, you know, just talking to people throughout the community, it does seem like the excitement factor is higher than it's been in the past several years.
And it should be. I don't know what that means as far as wins and losses. I think they'll be better in that department than last year. But I'm a big Jay Norvell guy. Have been since he came into this league. And I think Joe Parker not only hit the home run, I mean, he hit it out of the park, out of the city, in getting a guy like Jay Norvell. Because he will come in, as you've already seen, he will ignite the fan base because he loves being a man amongst the people, loves getting people excited about his program. He's got an exciting brand of football that has been successful everywhere he's gone, whether it be at the NFL, coached in the Super Bowl, at the college level, 4 or 5 years, he's been in a bowl game, been in the conversation for a conference championship. He's groomed big-time quarterbacks. I don't think that there's any reason that you shouldn't be excited about what he brings to the football program, the university, and then also the Fort Collins community. He's going to succeed there. This is the first time that I've looked at the guy and said, I think this guy is going to win and win a lot at Colorado State since Mac. And McElwain did a really good job of getting people excited. He was kind of quirky. He was fun to watch, and he had, you know, big-time players. I think Jay Norvell will be in that same conversation, and he's a lovable guy. He's a down-to-earth guy, and that's what I like most about Jay. You know, he wears that gas station shirt to practice. I mean, but that's who he is. I mean, you know, he's just a blue-collar guy. There's not a whole lot of frills about him. He just loves being on the football field with his guys, and there's nobody that loves more deep about players and his family than Jay Norvell. You're going to love this guy through and through up there.
Well, I like it too, because a lot of times when you get offensive-minded coaches, they kind of try to hide it a little bit. No, we're really – and they are. You know, Freddie Banks in this defense, I'm curious to see how that works out. He's got a pretty good pedigree. But they'll try to hide it a little bit, you know. But when you talk to Jay Norvell or his offensive coordinator, Matt Mummy, they make no bones about it. They say, no, we're going to throw the football, so just
we're
get ready.
Deep.
We're going deep.
Yeah.
I had the most fun, Jesse, spring ball. Who has fun at spring ball? I was they're constantly throwing the football up and down the field. It was such a blast.
Yeah, and you know, he obviously brought in a good amount of talent with him from the bat. I mean, look, that probably speaks to him, as I think about it, more than anything, that, you know, he had that many players, high end all conference caliber players, including, you know, one of the top quarterback recruits in the country a couple of years ago, and Clay Millen, that when he left, they said, we're going with you. I mean, that speaks when a coach leaves and it's, well, where you're going, we're going. I think that speaks to the type of relationships that he builds that are important to him, that are important to his players. And here they are, all going to build something at Colorado State together. And I couldn't be more excited as a former Ram myself and still a supporter of the program to see a guy like Jay Norvell kind of reigniting the fun back in Fort Fun.
And he's making the rounds, too. I mean, on Sunday, I'm watching him on the Rockies broadcast. I know he was on with Jim Rome, too. I mean, he is, I think, shedding a lot of great light, not only on CSU, but the Mountain West Conference in general. So I'm very excited to see what he can do this upcoming season. What do you think, Jesse? Is this kind of a recharge year? Do you think the Rams might get to the point where they could win 6 games and get into a bowl? What do you think?
Oh, I think this team absolutely could be in the conversation to get 6 wins. Now, you know, things have to fall their way. You look at a game like Michigan, you say, okay, probably not. But I don't think there's any reason you can't be 2-2 in non-conference play. I think you're every bit as good in the conversation with Wyoming. Those are great games. That goes either way. You got a game against New Mexico at home. That should be a game that you're in. And you got Nevada and Hawaii. Yeah, the games against Boise State, going to be tough. You're on the road. You're at Air Force. That's going to be tough. San Jose State, I think, is going to be a pretty good team, as is Utah State. So you steal a few of those games and win the games that you quote-unquote should, which is easier said than done, I think this team will be in the conversation to be bowl eligible. Do they get there? Is that over-under set at 5? Possibly. I don't know what Vegas has it as. I'm not a big bettor, but I would not be shocked if this team was bowl eligible come November 25th.
And that sounds about right, too. Maybe 5 or so on that side of it, too. It's going to be interesting to see what can happen. Jesse, lastly for you, obviously conference realignment is absolutely nuts. If you're the Mountain West, I mean, the Mountain West looks at this and says, man, this is our opportunity right now. And again, I love Mountain West football. It's why I love one of the many reasons I love having you on, Jesse. But do you view this is an opportunity? Things have slowed down a little bit in the talk since about 4 weeks ago. This is a huge opportunity for us just to put our best foot forward, go out, have an amazing non-conference schedule, and show the rest of this country what we can do.
Yeah, I think that's been the mantra since this league started back in 1999, was we'll play anybody, we're going to compete at a very high level, and you know, we'll earn national attention. Look, you know, the TCUs and Utahs of the world put their best foot forward for a lot of years, and you know, when they had an opportunity, that you know, they left, and we wished them well. But you know, our job as a league office and as a collective whole, the 12 institutions, is to put out great competition and try to lift each other to succeed at high levels. And we think that, you know, over the last couple of years we've done that. Won the bowl championship, the ESPN Bowl Cup this last year. Heck of a run through the football season, all the way through bowls, and then one of our best men's basketball seasons we've had in a long time. So to your point, we think we absolutely are. And with that, you know, comes notoriety, and people start talking, well, will this team, that comes with the territory. We would rather be in that position, right, where
sure,
people love what we're doing and the success that we're having, than the alternative of not having success. So no question, we're excited about the football season. We're excited about the men's and women's basketball season, because we think we put ourselves in a very good position right now to succeed and compete at a high level.
No question. And you know, we're going off that amazing basketball season that you just referenced. And those three teams that we started the segment with, Boise State, Fresno State, and Air Force, I'm looking at it going, man, are we going to get just as an exciting non-conference schedule, whatever, in football as we did last year? I was addicted to Mountain West basketball last year. I watch a lot of it anyway, but every single night was must-see television. So you're right. The Mountain West has been a blast.
Yeah, no, we're excited about what this 22-23 school year will have in store, and we're, what, 3.5 weeks away from kicking this thing off,
yeah.
So giddy up.
I'm ready for it. Jesse, appreciate you, man. Love what you do. Glad to have you a part of the show, making it better each and every week that you're on, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, appreciate all you do and your interest in the Mountain West. Be well, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, my friend. There he is, Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. Fresno State. They're going to do big things this year. I mean, like you say, they got USC, an opportunity there to show what the Mountain West can do. And I think if you just look at it, Fresno State has a pretty good shot to maybe pull off that win. Quarterback's there, coaches there, got a lot of returners. Boise State's going to be good. Air Force is going to be good. Let's see if CSU can hang in there with these guys. All right, 24 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, what's on the docket here? Oh, our poll question. Wyoming or CSU, who's going to have the best record at the end of the 2022 season? Some saying it's obviously CSU. Listen, I'm as excited about Jay Norvell as the next guy. But what do you know? They haven't even started practice yet. Clay Millen is my guy. We're going to be hearing from him each and every week, but we still don't know that much about this crew. So still a lot of questions to be answered about both the Cowboys and the Rams. We'll talk about it next, 25 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The team. 14 days, 13 teams begins today with the University Bulldogs. Coverage starts tonight at 5, presented by Arnie Butler and Associates on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting, the outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron.
Vin Scully, Henry Aaron talking about that. Wow, that's one of the... I just like the old school feel to that one too. Vin Scully, like, that's the thing. He captured the early broadcasting craze and then continued to do it for a very, very long time, getting youngsters like yourself, Jades, that are involved, that are, you know, big fans of what he was able to do, and just telling a story and some of the most epic, important, fascinating stories in all of sports. Vin Scully was the one given that responsibility, and not sure anybody could have handled it quite the way that he did. 29 minutes after the hour. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Jades, how are we feeling about this Rockies team right now? I mean, Bill Schmidt, who I kind of got excited. I don't want to say excited. I was against it at first because I thought Dick Monfort should bring somebody in here just with a fresh set of eyes. I don't know who that could have been, but I just was... The other way you were doing it wasn't working. You keep hiring with from within. They're all kind of taught the same stuff. This is the philosophy. This is what we do. And then he hires Bill Schmidt, who was already in the front office. And I didn't like it. Then he makes a couple of moves. Chris Bryant, Randall Grichuk, you know, some decent situations that he put this team in to start. Season progresses, you know, you're not the worst team all year. Before the All-Star break, you were certainly kind of in scary territory, but not drifting to the bottom as much. Now it's bad, and you don't make any kind of moves for the current, for the present, or the future. And Bill Schmidt's response was, you know, we love our guys. No other team had contract extensions. We did. And clearly there are some teams that had that signed players to contract extensions. So Bill Schmidt, the first 75% portion of the season in his career as the Rockies GM, bad start, right?
He was doing so good. And then this trade deadline was just really apparent as to where he really sits as a GM. It's his first season, I'll give him that, but the issue I have is that you, like you said, you made no moves towards the present or the future. Like, what are we going to keep doing? Are we just going to continue to be a bottom middle pack team?
Well, and you just saw what the Padres did. We see what the Dodgers do on a yearly basis, and listen, I'm not saying, maybe I am saying this. If we're not trying to compete with the Dodgers and the Padres, then what the hell are we doing here? You know, Dick Monfort emailed out to a disgruntled fan years ago that was like, you know what, I'm starting to think, I wonder if maybe Colorado even deserves a baseball team. And that right then was just when I said, man, come on. I know he does some good stuff in the community and all that. And he does. In the Greeley community, for sure. But the mentality's just not there. I mean, at one point he said, hey, I think it's reasonable to make it a goal to make the playoffs once out of every 5 years. That is just – there's just been so many things time and time again where you scratch your head, and then you hear this. Bill Schmidt sounds like Dick Monfort. That's something that Dick Monfort would say. We love our guys. No other team's doing what we did as far as contract extension. Big deal. I like Daniel Bard. But the bottom line is, you're bragging about extending a player that's a part of your bad team.
Exactly. And that's the problem, is that they're not doing anything different. It's the same blood doing the same job continuously.
Which is why I thought they should get a fresh set of eyes in here.
And you're probably right. I mean, someone who's been in the front office for so long and has heard the same stuff for so long eventually succumbs to it. It's just part of – it's human nature, and he's – you said it best. I mean, he literally said something that Dick Monfort would have said.
That sounds like Dick Monfort, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%.
I mean, hey, we love our guys. I mean, nothing against any of these guys, but is Iglesias gonna get you there? C.J. Cron, the value just went down rapidly after the All-Star game. You know, he had a really good season up to the All-Star game. But you waited too long, and I think even watching the broadcast, they're saying the same thing. There's no doubt he's not going to be able to keep those numbers up for long. That's when you trade him. Should they have made those moves at that point? I thought a week and a half ago, they should have got serious about making some moves. We said after that Milwaukee series, you know, maybe then the Dodgers series. But you waited too long, and I wonder how serious they were about making any moves at all.
Well, and I'd like to say that I'm surprised, but I'm not, because it's the same story. It's the same narrative they write every year at the trade deadline. The Rockies are always one of those teams that do nothing or very little.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. But what do you do? What do you do? Are you boycotting the team? Because Dick Monfort's not showing us any signs of necessarily changing. So when do you look at this, Jades, and when do you as a fan, and I'm not a boycott guy, when it comes to sports, because life's too short. If you want to go to Coors Field, it's beautiful there. Have some fun, but 5 playoff seasons. 5. Is anything ever going to change? I mean, I just don't see it. You know, you see a couple of players come and go. Good players that you'd like to – the Nolan Arenado thing, does that even seem like real life anymore when he was here and they went to the playoffs twice in a row?
Yeah, honestly, no. And then that whole situation in itself, how Nolan left, that's a story in itself.
It is. And again, I don't think Nolan is 100% innocent on all of that. I think he signed the contract and then realized he made a mistake and wanted out. But again, whose fault is that? You create this organization that doesn't seem to show that they're dedicated to winning. And that's not a knock on Kyle Freeland and Herman Marquez and bringing a guy like Chris Bryant in here. Chris Bryant's been hurt. And it was kind of documented that he was battling injuries in the offseason, and the Rockies kind of knew about it. But you bring him in anyway. And I like Bryant. When he's healthy, dude, he's great. But when do you get to the point? I mean, what do you do? This is just what it is? Because the Nuggets seemed to get it right. The Avalanche were bad and then got it right. The Broncos were bad. They went out and got Russell Wilson. They're trying to get it right. Why can't the Rockies compete?
Well, look at the ownership of those franchises.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Pat Bowlen, for the longest time, created this blueprint around Denver and helped sustain success even when he started battling with health and backed away. And then you look at the Nuggets and the Cronkies, they've certainly had some shade thrown their way over the years, but they put together playoff teams. I mean, there was a time 5 years ago on this show where I think it was the first year that either the Avs or the Nuggets hadn't been to the playoffs. They were both out. That was a rarity. And then the very next year, the Avs were back in. The Nuggets, you can knock them all you want. They're not a championship-caliber franchise, whatever. They're always in the playoffs. And I think Rockies fans would salivate over the notion of the Rocks being able to play games on October on a regular basis.
Oh, definitely. And I'm not – I understand his mentality of saying one out of every 5 years. That's not something you go to the press with, but it is – Well, in reality, yeah. it's a genuine mindset. But I mean, look at the Broncos. They were really good, had terrible 6 years. Were ready to win again, and that's what they did. The Rockies, we don't have that luxury. We don't get to feel the victories. We sit here and debate whether or not we have a competent, worthy owner.
And that, again, we can talk about the Broncos and where they went wrong with John Elway. John Elway was fantastic for a moment, but he even saw it at the end and got out of the situation and brought somebody else in. Who'd they bring in? Who did the Broncos bring in to take? John Elway, you can knock John Elway all you want, but Elway at the end of the day said, you know what? I don't have it anymore. I'm not there. So did they hire from within? Or did they go out to an organization in Minnesota who's not like a world beater, but they go to the assistant GM or whatever George Payton's role was there, and they say, this is an up-and-coming guy, and he's coming into Denver with a fresh set of eyes. Look at the Nuggets. I mean, Tim Conley comes in after Masai Ujiri with a fresh set of eyes. Then Calvin Booth starts working out, and he's working under Tim Conley. The Rockies keep going from within. Breidich was there before he became the GM under O'Dowd. Then it was Breidich. Now Bill Schmidt. Common theme? The three teams that are, the Avs are Stanley Cup champs. The Nuggets are perennial playoff team. The Broncos just got Russell Wilson, and now they're in a position where we think they're playoffs, or at least darn close this year. They all went after guys at some point to come in and view this thing with a fresh set of eyes. Instead of the good old boy, these are our guys, you're going to keep growing. Common theme? Yeah, the Rockies are the only ones that keep recycling what they're doing. 39 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show. Wait, The Whole Show? What is this, a show about boats? Anyway, it's here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day: who's going to have a better record in 2022, the Wyoming Cowboys or the Colorado State Rams? Here's a texter. So this is a tough question that's easy to answer. If it weren't for Greg Bowles having so many X factors, and his team's overall let down last season before, I can't read most of this. Do the Pokes have a clear number one quarterback yet? So it's anybody's guess right now. No, they don't. I mean, that's kind of the thing. But what Cody Tucker told us yesterday is really building up that offensive line. And Titus Wynn. He's one of 52 players around the country named to the Paul Hornung Award preseason watch list by the Louisville Sports Commission. He might be the real deal. So this is going to be Wyoming. It's going to be run the football behind a pretty good first offensive line unit. Play outstanding defense. That's the Wyoming model. You know, and again, Cody reiterated that. I kind of wonder with Craig Bowles, is he going to change a little bit? In his, you know, he said he was going to change just a bit, like as far as how he talks to players and such, because they lost so many guys through the transfer portal. Just wonder if that takes place on the football field as well. Doesn't sound like it, though. But hey, they won last year. But they lost a lot through the transfer portal. So what does that mean for Wyoming? I mean, you look at the start of the season for them. University of Illinois, I mean, it's a Big Ten team, but not one of the better Big Ten teams. That could be a wash type game. Maybe not a win. I don't know. Maybe not a win there. University of Tulsa should be a win, right? UNC? Are the Cowboys beating UNC, Jades? We had Brooks Talkington and Zach Angelullo in studio yesterday. And again, they're saying all the right things. We don't look at the schedule. We're going out competing no matter who it is. It's probably a win for Wyoming. They could be 2-1, maybe 3-0, pull off an upset over University of Illinois. I think it would be an upset. And then you got Air Force. And then BYU. San Jose State, New Mexico, and then they get in their Mountain West play, Utah State, Hawaii. They don't play CSU until November 12th. Then Boise State down. Look at that stretch to end the season. CSU, Boise State, Fresno State. Boy, I think I'm going to go CSU here. Let's just do this. Who do they beat? Do they beat? They don't beat Air Force. Okay, let's just say they lose to University of Illinois, 0-1. Beat Tulsa, 1-1. Beat UNC, 2-1. Lose to Air Force, 2-2. BYU, lose that game, 2-3. Beat San Jose State, I'll give them that because they're at home. 3-3. New Mexico, 4-3. Utah State, 4-4. They win in Hawaii, 5-4. CSU, in Fort Collins. They lose. Wyoming loses. 5-5. Lose to Boise State. 5-6. Lose to Fresno State. 5-7. CSU, I think, has 6. So I'm going to go CSU. CSU gets this one. Go vote at theholeshow.com. CSU is getting 60% of the votes. Again, theholeshow.com, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who is winning? Who's going to have a better record, CSU or Wyoming? 48 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up the show on the other side with closing thoughts and what's on TV. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
It was awfully nice. The umpire just stood up and said goodbye, as I am saying goodbye. 7 runs, 16 hits for the winning Giants. 1-4, 1-4 the Dodgers. The winner, Matt Moore. The loser, Kenta Maeda. I have said enough for a lifetime. And for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
Oh, my goodness, Jades. Well done. That was Vin Scully's final call, wasn't it? I mean, just so humble, too. I mean, like, he's shocked that the umpire looks up at him and these crabby. It's just one of those guys, man. Icon. It's hard to throw around the word icon, but man, he has been doing it for so long at such a high level. And you never hear anything bad about this guy. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred said in a statement, "Today we mourn the loss of a legend in our game. Vin was an extraordinary man whose gift for broadcasting brought joy to generations of Dodger fans. Let me end quote there for a second. Not just Dodgers fans. I mean, we watched a lot of Dodgers games growing up and stuff, right, because of the networks and everything. But there's certain guys that you hear and you go, wow. That guy, I don't care if he's not calling games for my team. I don't care if he's calling games for the enemy, the hated Dodgers. There's only one guy that can kind of make you enjoy listening to those Dodgers games.
Well, and as a young, aspiring sports broadcaster, like, he's iconic to me. He's inspiring, too. Yeah. He's just one of those guys that he just did it right.
And that's a good advice for you, too. Listen to the timing of how he broadcasted games. You know, we have some phenomenal broadcasters that do our stuff here. My goodness, Clark Johnson. I know, Vin Scully was his idol. Clark's fantastic. You know, you listen to, you can hear it in his calls too sometimes. Vin Scully, I mean, there's broadcasters all over the world that you can maybe hear a little influence there. And it's not even just the game broadcast, just the way he touched a microphone, the way he told a story, and also let the story tell itself, too. I mean, he, like I said earlier, he knew when to just back away from that microphone and maybe let the crowd, you know, edge their way in. And then he knew when to get back in, all of that stuff. It's, you know, I know there's broadcast schools all over the place, and I'm not saying they're bad or anything, but sometimes guys just have it. And Vin Scully, certainly one of those guys. Thank you, Jade. Jades, that was fantastic. Just fun to play some of those clips back. I know that doesn't do it justice at all, but when you have a guy with the iconic career that he has had, it's hard to talk, you know, to fit it into 3 hours even just talking about the guy. So Vin Scully, an icon, certainly will be missed, but will live on, no doubt about it, forever for all of us sports fans. All right, man, we had a busy show today. It's 3 hour format is fantastic. It gives us so many opportunities to really break into these stories, and with football season almost here, it doesn't get much better. So cannot wait to keep rolling with you guys. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Shout out to Ellison Hubbard for joining us. Now Sam Houston State D lineman, former Ram. Mark Johnson, as always, our Buffs insider. Jesse Kurtz talking Mountain West football. It is here, folks. We hit all football with our guests today. How about that? Ready to rock and roll. It's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.